The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Monday. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing really, really good. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Hope you had a great week while we were gone. I know we did.
Yeah. Great week.
It was a really, really good week. Now, I will say that by the time it got to be Thursday or Friday, it was like, oh, boy, there's just so much going on.
Yeah, too much. Way too much going on.
Yep. Yeah. Coming up here on the show, we will do a week in review because we've got to comment on a few things a ton of things that happened. And again, yes. Was it not the first thing that you started thinking by the time we got to the weekend is, where do we start?
Yeah. I mean, my teeth nearly fell out. I was so excited. My teeth nearly came flying out of my mouth. And I don't wear dentures.
By the way, somebody has to tell, since Pete Buttigieg served in Afghanistan, somebody needs to tell him how that war started. Because apparently he doesn't know
He
doesn't remember how that war started and where it all came from. And it was really amazing that he said it when? Right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And had basically seemed to not have a clue as to how that war actually started. By the way, if it was Trump doing that, could you imagine the fact-checking?
Oh, yeah.
On a ton of different things, can you imagine the fact-checking? So we'll get to that coming up here. But the UAW goes on strike, by the way. That Wall Street Journal, just a few here in the last hour, confirmed that the statement has been released by the UAW. They are on strike against General Motors.
Yeah, right.
So that strike has begun today. Analysts have looked at that and said, well, number one, it's because of the closing of some factories that GM is really, really concerned about for the future. That's one of the major things. And that the UAW leadership needs to instill confidence that they're willing to fight for the worker because they're in the midst of a federal corruption probe.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
So we'll be interesting to see where that goes. But that's just so people know that strike is on. That is official at this point. And the UAW, after midnight Eastern, had sent out the notice that was on.
46,000 GM workers.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty huge.
We have
a GM plant here in North Texas. And you think about, I guess, the impact of a walkout, what it might mean. You're getting into the fourth quarter. This is when, of course, they want all the new models, all the new year models will come out, starting, soon. They'll be hitting the showrooms and they want to do it. At the retail level, at the, dealership level, there's a ton of clearance going on, between October, November, and December, the fourth quarter. They look to get rid of the, in this case, the 2019 models. And you wonder how long something like this will go on. I'm guessing with a GM, we're not looking at very long, but I could be wrong. This one just feels, this walkout feels different. It just feels different. And I do wonder if it's going to be a little bit longer than usual.
Also coming up, the DOJ completes her investigation into FISA abuse. Senator Graham warns the FISA court, by the way.
Right.
We'll get to that. The attack on Saudi oil, that up in a little bit. That relates to the whole John Bolton resigning last week. By the way, that was interesting because the president put out that in essence, he had fired John Bolton, and Bolton let it be known the next day through Twitter that, no, he resigned. He wasn't fired. And then I was looking for the response from the president that, no, I fired him. Never happened.
Right.
Never happened.
Right.
So Bolton resigned. And those are the things that hurts Trump, by the way. Mm-hmm. Not even the substance of it.
Right.
But when something like that comes out, and you know whether he gets caught in something because he doesn't respond on Twitter.
Yeah.
And when Bolton came out and said, no, I resigned. I told him I wish to resign. And he said, He said, no, we'll talk tomorrow. And then by the time the morning came, Bolton found out that he had been fired.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I offered my resignation first.
Mm-hmm.
So those little things that really don't matter to the American public, but make you look and say, why? Why do you do that?
Right.
If you and Bolton disagree, well then fine. Well, we'll get to the substance of that coming up. But mm-hmm. just again, the ceremony part of it. Mm-hmm. Which is, I don't know if it's ceremony when you resign, but you understand what I mean. It's the part of just of why,
right?
And I will say that that's one of the things that I got from most people that I talked to that are Trump supporters, and there seemed to be a ton of op-ed pieces written that, as bad as Trump can be at times, as much as he gets caught not telling the truth. As much as he comes off as being manic in a way,
mm-hmm.
the Democrats are nuts.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I got from the majority of Trump supporters. Look, I'm sticking by Trump because when you get to the substance of the actual issues, he's okay on most of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
These people are nuts. Look at what they wish to do. They're absolutely crazy.
And it really is over the top. It seems to get worse with every debate. It seems for them on the issues, it just gets more and more intense. The crazy does. And last week's debate was no exception. It really was about, I think they reset a number of things. Gun control. We want to take all your guns. Borders. We're promoting open borders. I think the one thing that hurts them the most is borders. I gun control, I think, is a given where people think to themselves, well, we've won that. Even if I don't own a gun, I support the Second Amendment, or even to the extent that, you know, that's not going to be reversed. It's almost like gay marriage. It's likely not going to be reversed, and so gun control, maybe I support a bit of a stronger background check or something like that, but it's not a core issue right now. It's not. The left tries to make it a core issue in the wake of shootings, but it's not. Border control is. Border control, I think, is one that becomes more instinctive in nature. When people start hearing these insane ideas of not controlling our borders, of essentially creating a nation of open borders, I think most people draw the line.
When you see that headline, Eric Holder, Democrats need to know borders mean something.
Mm.
Former Attorney General Eric Holder spoke out defending the Obama administration from critics on the far left about its deportation efforts while warning 2020 presidential candidates that the U.S. needs borders. Protecting Obama's legacy, by the way.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly.
Is what he's, you know.
Well, it's pretty funny because if you were paying attention to the debate, a lot of the time was spent on going after Biden, which was essentially attacking the former administration on a few things. But when you have Eric Holder telling Democrats that we need borders.
Yeah.
That's that. Well, I mean, look, the Cuellar from Texas, Rahm Emanuel and others that have been longtime Democrats and liberals and looking at their own party and being very vocal about it. You guys are crazy. I mean, it started, you know, the Claire McCaskill thing was kind of out there, but not really. You know, the mainstream media never covered that. We did because we took apart that ad. Couple of actors talking to each other, you know, saying, well, I support Claire McCaskill because she's not one of those crazy Democrats. And we broke it down for our audience. That means that the research, the call out, everything on their internals was showing, and it kept saying over and over again, that's what people were saying about the party. When they reached out to the people to try and get an opinion, Claire McCaskill's team was getting those words back. Crazy Democrats. That's why her campaign used it in that ad. Now, build that out to where we are. Wow. For the 2020 election season, and you've got Eric Holder saying, no, we need borders, Democrats. And you've got Rahm Emanuel coming out talking about how crazy the Democrats are, Cuellar in Texas, a number of them. How long does it go before they all, some of the older, I don't even know that I would call Eric Holder and Rahm Emanuel establishment Democrats. I was about to say that, but they don't fit in that category.
Well, definitely not anymore.
And so how long, exactly, how long before they, I mean, that part of the Democratic Party, and it's not an insignificant part. Say what you will about Nancy Pelosi and Feinstein and their battles on Capitol Hill all the time, or battles for re-election or whatever it might be. You're talking about major, I think if you couple them, especially with the Rahm Emanuels and Eric Holders of the party, you're talking about major, major, major players in the party still today.
Having a conversation with a couple of people, again, just speculation, saying who could beat Trump? And you know what the consensus would be? And this Democrat doesn't exist, but the Democrat out there that proposes giving you everything but wants to protect gun rights and is completely thinks that the Democrats and his and their party, whoever, if it's a he or she, mm-hmm. that their party is absolutely insane on open borders and the Green New Deal, that you can promise a ton of stuff like more money for health care and everything else.
Right.
You can still be out there doing it. But if you said, look, the Green New Deal is ridiculous. We can't. Socialism is ridiculous. We're not going to do that. I believe that people need to be helped a lot more. But these, if you actually took that stand and said a significant portion of my party is being ridiculous and childish, but you still said I'm going to give you everything, if you found a way to do that, that's what can beat Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
But that doesn't exist. That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, yeah. Tell me where in the party, well, right now, where on the stage is that Democrat?
Doesn't... I don't think that Democrat exists in the party.
At all, you mean? Yeah.
At all?
Yeah. No.
Maybe a Joe Manchin? Maybe?
No.
No. He couldn't pull it off.
No.
Okay.
Well, no. He's weak.
Yeah.
He's weak. I don't know. I don't know where it would be, actually. I have no idea.
One thing people forget about the president, he challenged the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of different op-ed pieces saying, look, the Democrats believe in order to win, you got to be like Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not being like Trump. You're just saying that being loud and being different and maybe and not being normal. I think it was a Peggy Noonan that talked about not being normal.
Right.
That, you know, Trump isn't your normal candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, people were attracted to him. But it wasn't just the fact that he could be blunt and loud and direct and in your face. It was that he challenged the establishment of the Republican Party. Is any Democrat challenging the what is now the establishment, which is the far left, is anybody challenging them and saying, no, they're wrong? No.
No. No, they're not.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Welcome. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you very much.
Also, coming up, two lawsuits while we were gone.
Yeah.
You see that One America News suing Rachel Maddow and the NRA suing the city of San Francisco?
Right.
For calling them. By the way, they should do that.
Absolutely.
Because the NRA is not a domestic terrorist organization.
No, they are not.
They're a lobbyist group.
Right.
And to make that accusation, think about this, and they're suing, that's absolutely defamation of character. Number one, it's a lie. Number two, you cannot make that connection. You cannot make that stick. And then OAN going after Rachel Maddow and MSNBC for $10 million. They call them a paid propaganda outlet, something like what a paid propaganda, whatever.
Right.
What you're saying is, if I said to you, Eric, puts out propaganda all the time. That's one thing. If I say you're a paid, that Eric promotes the propaganda of Russia constantly, that's one thing.
Right.
If I say you're paid propaganda from the Russians, that's a whole different ball game.
That is very good living. I make lots of money. Lots and lots of rubles.
Because that's actually a behavior stating that you are taking money from a foreign government to promote a particular opinion on your network. To promote
I'm not
a foreign
even
government.
Sure that we could say that about the late Ed Schultz, who in his last job worked Russia Today.
Was working for Russia Today.
I'm not
today.
Saying we can't say that about him. I'm just saying I don't know that we can say it about him because I don't know what the marching orders were.
The president delays tariffs another 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one, where are we going? We're in one of those quiet times again, and who knows what is going to happen. Information while we were on vacation again coming out that China wants to narrow the scope more as to what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I really wonder if we're not close to what will actually happen in that deal.
Yeah, I think we probably are because, well, you just think of the likelihood of what it was that each side wanted. China's not going to open up and change their laws and open up their essentially open up the floodgates to more freedom and rights for the citizens of China. That's not going to happen. The Chinese government is not about to do that. So where do you, and what's hurting the administration? Well, it's the threat of an economy, a down economy in an election year when he's trying to get reelected as president. So that has to go away at some point. Those tariffs have to go away. But what can each side come away with as a win?
And the latest Kavanaugh accusation that the alleged victim can't remember.
Yeah. Doesn't even remember. What a dud that was.
Who was it? I can't remember the writer of National Review that used that term.
Yeah.
Dud.
Right. It's a dud. It's a total dud.
Wait a minute.
You're saying you don't even know. You don't even remember. All of this came out. And Sunday it was just, oh my gosh, this is going to finally bring down Kavanaugh. And then the witness, the victim. I don't really remember. Yeah. Not sure. Wow. How did someone not go through that storyline, through that narrative, and say to themselves, we can't run with this?
They don't care.
They don't.
Political activists don't care. There isn't even a semblance of journalism right now.
No.
It's pure political activism. And when you're a political activist, you don't care whether it's the truth or not. You don't care. You don't sit there when you're caught. You don't feel any shame.
Right.
You just say, oh, okay, well, we moved the needle a little bit more in that direction. Even if it was a lie, we know a ton of people just heard the first story, and that's all that matters.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what we're dealing with right now. So they just don't care. I will say this. I mean, I saw Britt Hume saying this is just unbelievable. Just unbelievable that they would print that story.
For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
Chances are for your location, the weather you witnessed yesterday will be the same today. We're going to continue to see heavy amounts of rain in Florida from those two systems, one in the Atlantic, one in the Gulf. We'll see rain in the desert southwest pick up a little momentum as that monsoonal flow funnels into western New Mexico and eastern Arizona. For the most part, California dry. We will see northern California and the coastal areas of Washington and Oregon pick up a little more rain today. Other than that, most of the Intermountain West is dry. The northern plains, after having gone through some severe weather last week and lots of rain, will be dry today. That high pressure will extend down into Texas. The coastal showers we had yesterday along the Gulf will be moving a little bit further inland for the deep south today, so look for showers from portions of eastern Texas all the way over to Atlanta. Getting the work week underway with your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thank you.
to Red Eye Radio from the Pilot Flying J Studios.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in. We've only touched on a bunch of topics, but let's head right to you. Why not, right?
Why not?
All right, let's go to Patrick in Rockford, Illinois. Patrick, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you very much for taking my call. You know, I've been listening to these Democrats, and so far I really question their sanity. And do they actually believe the things that are coming out of their own mouths? Because so far, listening to these debates, I've heard absolutely nothing other than I hate Trump more. And, you know, you guys mentioned the OAN going after Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
I know, you know, Trump has more sense than to rise to the bait. But for all these times that they call him a racist with no proof, isn't that libel, at the very least, or slander?
Well, in the moral sense of the word, yes. I mean, saying that he committed treason and colluded with the Russians to hack the election, but he's president of the United States, and it's not the same thing. He's the ultimate in a public figure.
Well, again, all this talk of, you know, even the Mueller report, there was still no evidence, no proof, yet they just won't let it go. I mean, they're on it like a pit bull on a chihuahua.
Well, look at the Kavanaugh thing.
Oh, yeah. They can't let it go. He was seated how long ago, and they still can't let it go.
Well, I think from now on, we should just say, when somebody comes up with this, we say, oh, they're driving a Ford. they come up with these baseless accusations, hoping, you know, they throw mud, hoping something will stick, and nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been able to, you know, I remember back during the campaign, they were throwing everything at Trump. Nothing would stick because they had nothing.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is that what's interesting, Patrick, and thank you for the call. What's interesting is the media keeps doing this over and over again. I mean, like with Kavanaugh, and you ask yourself, why in the world would you go to print with this? They just can't help themselves. They know that if they break a story, or if they believe they've broken a story, they really broke it, they throw it out there that a number of people will just say, see, I told you so, without even looking at the facts or considering the facts. It's what Maureen Dowd said about her friends in 2016. If there was negative on Hillary in the news, they were going to shut the doors, draw the blinds, and cover their eyes and cover their ears. They were not going to pay attention to it. They were just going to ignore. So you only pay attention and give credibility to the things that, I guess, rally your own side. And I just don't know how the Kavanaugh thing, because Trump, I get, they're trying to work to make sure that he's not going to, you know, that he will not get reelected. That's the whole idea. But the only idea for Kavanaugh is what? I mean, it would be to bring him off of the Supreme Court, to change the balance and to have to go through the nomination process again.
That story was so bad, Eric, that when it came out, the first thought I had was, is there news, or is there scuttlebutt that somebody else is retiring?
Right.
That's the only thing that I could think of.
Exactly.
That you bring this up, you know the story is going to have zero legs. Mm. It's going to die within a couple of days. This, as you know, you and I have come up with this thing. Will we be talking about it a week from Friday?
Mm.
And a couple of things, it's like, well, we didn't even make it to Friday. Forget about a week from Friday.
Right.
But these allegations are brought up. They make the point to the base, and then they just move on to the next lie. But the fact is, you throw it out there. But why would you throw it out? And the only thing I could think of was, okay, you throw this out because somebody's going to retire. Ginsburg has said, okay, she's let it known to the New York Times, I'm going to retire. Okay, we need to slander Kavanaugh, so we remind people what kind of judge Trump will nominate.
Right.
That was the first thing that popped into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is Ginsburg retiring?
Right. Right. Yeah, it's I think it has to be, it's probably all the above. I don't know what hope there really is to that the liberals would think they could bring down Kavanaugh with such a story. even if the, you know, the alleged victim remembered everything with full clarity, I don't know that it would bring Kavanaugh off the bench.
This message sent to me from one of our listeners who said, No. You can't. Nobody in the middle can ever win because the base of the Democrat Party is liberal. I'm talking about if you get through. When we were talking about hypothetically who could be Trump, we're talking if they get through to the general election,
right?
Because
the
base of the Democrat Party is not necessarily the base of Democrats.
Right.
We have said this. There was a poll. Oh, who was talking about it when I was gone? There was a poll that was being discussed when we were on vacation that was done about what was the number one thing. And you can only name the number one thing, you know, that you wish to promote. And it was like 34-35% of Democrats beat Trump.
Right.
Everything else, every other issue was below 10%.
Right.
It was just, beat Trump. So I think that if you got somebody, and by the way, promising everything is not necessarily maybe in this day and age, it depends what your definition of a moderate liberal is on September 16th,
yeah,
2019,
sure.
Which
right.
is a lot different than 2018 or 2017, or definitely what a moderate was in the Democrat Party 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the fact you promise everything, but you say, no, I disagree with the Democrats on borders. Look, and Eric, you're the one that made note of this. Claire McCaskill put out that ad last year that talked about crazy Democrats. She put it out because that's what's circulating among Democrats.
Yes.
And independents. And as you said, that term, I bet you that term came up. They're crazy Democrats. That's why a Democrat senator used it in her political ad is because she thought she could win by, you know, at the last minute by outing them. But if you have the history of the of being a Democrat, which this doesn't exist, that's why we said nobody exists that could fill this particular definition. But if they did exist, could they have much more success in the general election? But right now, you may think Trump is, you know, not a good president. You may wish that he would tell the truth a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You may not agree with some of his policies. You may not agree with the tariffs. You may not agree with what may be. You may not agree with the John Bolton firing.
Right.
There may be a number of things you don't agree with. But when you look at actually what he is, when you finally come to the conclusion, and there's a lot of things, by the way, Eric, that are sitting on the table. We don't know where they're going to end up. We don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. We don't know what's going to happen with Iran. We don't know how this president is going to respond. That's the great unknown here. So a lot of these things you can't come to a conclusion on.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at it, but you look at the president, and you go, okay, there are things I'm concerned about with this president, but overall, the things that have come to a conclusion aren't that bad.
Right.
The other side, they're nuts.
Yep.
I mean, they're nuts.
Right. I mean, you know, we kept, I think we've said it, a number of times here where you can make that comparison. The president only has to, and the reelection campaign only has to point at what they're promoting and then point at what he's promoting. And in terms of the issues, there's a vast difference. Vast difference. You go back to, again, border security. The party itself has done from, I guess, the last major Democrat to talk about barriers and walls was 2014, maybe. So let's say over the last 5 to 6 years, a full 180. Well, you look at the president and the Republican Party as a whole, because we have to keep in mind that, you know, the fight is still on to regain the House. It's always going to be on to regain the House, but you have to, there has to be a great deal of effort by the entire party. That's the point, not just the president and his reelection campaign, in order to win. But the Republican Party hasn't changed the fundamental views. We can talk about a number of things, work visas or anything else. What you can't say is that the Republicans and the president, just like the Democrats, have changed positions a full 180 on the core of that issue. The Democrats have. The president has not.
And we, even on gun control, when you know, talk about O'Rourke last week, now the Democrats are, we will come and we will confiscate your guns.
Yes. Right.
It's not we will ban in the future. We'll confiscate.
We're going to take them.
We're going to cut. Law enforcement will come to your door and we'll take it. That's at that point, jumping the shark for a lot of Democrats. And
yes.
We're talking voters,
right.
Not people inside the party.
Right, right.
Especially in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see O'Rourke also tweeted out that living close to work is also a right?
Yeah, right.
That was the ultimate. Living close to work is a right.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right to live close to work. Does that mean we have to subsidize housing now?
Well, I mean, to what extent? To what extent? What do you have a right to? That particular job in that area or that particular house in that area?
Everything.
All the above.
Your comfortable lifestyle and your convenient lifestyle is a right.
Is a right. Well, then, I mean, I guess everything is. Having a cell phone is a right. Having a Facebook page is a right. Having a social media page is a right.
I want to laugh, but I can't.
Right.
They're to the point where broadband is a right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. And so if broadband is a right, then having a cell phone is a right.
We know Facebook and Twitter are a right.
Of course. Try and take it away from the people. It's in the Constitution.
You have a choice. We're taking away Facebook or Social Security.
Right.
Social Security.
Yeah, take away Social Security. Of course. Yeah, it's not going to be there anyway. Facebook will still be there. It'll be a lot like MySpace is today, but...
Oh, man. And I can't get through 30 seconds of the show without something else popping into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Warren talking about, you know, we're going to increase Social Security benefits. Oh, by the way, we're going to increase the amount we take out of your pay.
Yes. Well, of course.
Whoa.
We'll increase the amount that we take out of your pay fourfold, and we'll increase the amount that you get as a benefit by $2.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Jim in Illinois about the UAW strike. Jim, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi, Jim.
Morning, fellas. You know what? I'm a conservative, free market capitalist, and it just ticks me off. You know, these unions, they support the leftist agenda, the Democrat Party. I would be more than happy to move anywhere to go break up that union and be a scab and work a better job than where I'm at right now.
Hmm.
Well, there are probably a lot of people that agree with you. What we have found striking, especially over the last, I don't know, decade or so, because it's when you and Eric and I, we've really talked about this a lot, is how the union leadership has actually worked against the interest of their own unions.
Right. Sure. Both in
immigration.
I think that's the biggest one. You know, how much do they really care about the people who hold those positions, the people they represent? They've been taking the union dues and supporting Democrats forever. It got so insane that the West Virginia Coal Miners Association in 2008 actually endorsed a guy who said, under my plan of cap and trade, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket, and that would entail bankrupting the coal industry.
Can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. And so, I'm with the caller. A lot of people would agree with you that, you know, I mean, they're willing to work. They're willing to go to work. This is what we get back to. You want to work in a union facility and you support union, great, good for you. Just know that your elected leaders at the union don't support you always. Now, if you're all for doing stuff that is detrimental to the long-term viability of your employer, then great. If that's what you support, then great, because that's exactly what your dues are going for. But has it changed leadership at all?
No, not really.
No.
We've always been amazed, especially over the last decade.
Right.
The difference in opinion between the rank and file union member and the leadership, that they're paying their dues so they can hold their six-figure jobs.
Yes, exactly.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric, I'm Gary. Good morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We had a good week vacation. I went. I know that I went back and saw my mom and dad, and they're doing great. Family's doing great. And then came back and had my colonoscopy on Friday. Nothing like a nice vacation colonoscopy.
Yes. The normal colonoscopy is just the colonoscopy.
Yes.
The vacation colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah, it's just completely and just totally a
it's like an upgrade. It's like sitting in first class.
So what'd you do on your vacation? You don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
So one thing I've got to mention.
Okay. What?
I was focused on it completely. There I am on the table. Okay.
Oh, wait. We should probably stop here.
No. It has to do with the anesthesia.
Okay.
Was it the propofol?
Propofol, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
The stuff that killed Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And I talked about the last one that I had 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. That when that stuff goes in, that I remember whatever they used as anesthesia when I was a kid, when I got my tonsils out, I still remember. There was like a heavy feeling, and you transitioned. I remember feeling a little heaviness, and then you would go to sleep. But there was a little bit of a transition period.
Yeah. Okay.
And when I got my colonoscopy 3 years ago, my first one, I remember the anesthesiologist saying, okay, you might feel a little bit of stinging, and then you'll be waking up. And I remember thinking at that time, all right, but I don't feel it. And then I woke up. And I said this time, I'm really going to focus. I'm going to focus.
Sure, yeah.
When he puts it in, because he said, okay, I'm putting it in. I said, you're putting it in right now. And he said, yes, you may feel a little stinging. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I'm just focused in on, I want to see the transition from consciousness to, I woke up. What an amazing, I'll tell you, when used properly, you know, we don't talk about these things, maybe, you know, anesthesia, it's something that doesn't come up. But really, what a wonderful, incredible invention when used correctly.
Yes, when administered properly.
Yes, and professionally.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, now I will say this, you wake up on that stuff and you believe you can do anything. Let me walk down the hall. Whoa! I actually got up and fell right back in the chair twice.
Yeah, wow.
And so you know why they say don't do anything for the rest of the day. Don't drive. Don't do anything on it, because it does have a residual effect. Mm-hmm. But my whole focus, I mean, I focused everything that I have in my brain. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm really going to focus in. I remember just looking at the whole monitor there. I could see blood pressure and everything else. But I'm thinking to myself, focus, focus. You want to be able to recognize that transition of going from consciousness to unconsciousness. Nope.
I remember...
hits like that.
And I've had it a number of times. I actually have had a dental surgery, a dental implant, and had the propofol.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is great, because it is surgery. I mean, they're mm-hmm. you know, going into it's a different kind of surgery than other dental work. And so I remember when I went for my colonoscopy last December, I started counting backwards. I did the 10, 9, 8, and the lady said, "Sir, you're in the waiting room." I was so anxious to get started and go to sleep. But what was funny is I went back, when they took me back, my anesthesiologist knew people that I knew from my Del Rio days. We started talking. He's like, "Oh," and it's, you know, so I forget the conversation. Very pleasant guy. And we started talking, and he said, "Oh, well, then you probably know this family or that family down there in that area." And I was, yeah, it was great. I actually felt like we were friends. About 10 seconds later, I was out. But no, I've never had an issue with it. I know a lot of people do, though. They wake up from it and they have a, you know, an issue with a number of things. So far, I haven't had an issue with it.
Yeah,
so.
I had a little bit of an upset stomach afterwards, but that's probably from the liquid human Drano.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And the effect that probably has mm-hmm. on your body in some way. I mean, mm-hmm. just minor. Probably one of the first things I had, the breakfast taco with salsa, yeah. probably didn't yeah. help. One of the first things
entered
I put.
Entered a Nathan's hot dog eating contest 2 hours after your colonoscopy. Not a good idea.
But I know people think about it, and you know, a lot of people, I guess, don't get it because they're scared of it. And as I've said, we never lecture people on what to do.
Right.
But if that's keeping you from doing it, except for the hunger part of it and the part where you have to, you know, basically be on call at the bathroom for 14 and 15 hours. Mm. A piece of cake. I love looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
It's like, this is your intestine. Wow, that's really awesome.
Yeah. I generally don't look at the pictures. Just tell me what I'm dealing
no,
with.
No, I think it's
no.
Cool.
They bring it in. They bring it in for a reason. They show you and yep. because they want to encourage you, you know, and to follow up. That's what you have to do. So
well, I will say the first time I looked at it, I'll never forget. I looked at the pictures and I went. First thing I thought, intelligent design.
Hmm.
First thing I thought,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my intestine and going, wow, intelligent design. You
yeah.
can see, you know, you can see the engineering, you can see the engineering and how it's built. Because mm. really what, you know, we sit there because of what a colonoscopy is and in popular culture we make fun of it. But seriously, when it comes down to the biology of it and the wonder and the incredible wonder of life.
Yeah.
It really is. Right. And right. by the way, how important that is, you know, in your life, the digestive process, because if you can't digest food and then get rid of it, we're all dead. Yeah. But when you actually look at the wonder of it and take outside the cultural, you know, stigma of it, it really is incredible. I really look at it. Those are the times I look at it and say, wow, we are a miracle. Human life really is a miracle.
Yeah, I think about it at, you know, the and the number of people in the healthcare industry, I mean, that are just... It's with family, friends, and then as you start to get older yourself, you're exposed more to you know, the hospitals and the people that work there, and it's just amazing every time. I'm in awe of the people that
yeah.
work very, very hard to get an education, and then you know, have to constantly go through training and schooling essentially. That's the one thing I guess that's not considered is that you go in and you get your PhD or your you know, you become an RN or whatever it might be, and then all the things that change with technology and medicines over the years. I had a nurse recently and she had been doing that for 35 years.
I don't know how they do it.
I
don't know
no
how
idea.
They do it. I yeah. And great. It was every time, and it's my same doctor, same surgery center, and everything else, and just very pleasant experience.
Yeah.
So that's all done. All right, we'll get to your calls and comments because we touched on all the topics to start the first hour of the show, and people just started lining up wanting to get in. And we'll talk to you because we're back from vacation. But I do want to bring this breaking story out.
Mm.
This less than an hour old.
Mm-hmm.
New York Times updates Kavanaugh bombshell to note accuser doesn't recall alleged assault.
Welcome to your own story. Welcome to the truth, New York Times.
The New York Times suddenly made a major revision to a supposed bombshell piece late Sunday concerning a resurfaced allegation of sexual assault by Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, hours after virtually all 2020 Democratic presidential candidates had cited the original article as reason to impeach Kavanaugh. The update included the significant detail that several friends of the alleged victim said she did not recall the supposed sexual assault in question at all. The Times also stated for the first time that the alleged victim refused to be interviewed and has made no comment about the episode. The only firsthand statement concerning the supposed attack in the original piece came from a Clinton-connected lawyer who claimed to have witnessed it. The Times revision said editor's note, an earlier version of this article, which was adapted from a forthcoming book, did not include one element of the book's account regarding an assertion by a Yale classmate that friends of Brett Kavanaugh pushed his penis into the hand of a female student at a drunken dorm party. The book reports that the female student declined to be interviewed and said friends said she does not recall the incident. The information has been added to the article. By the way, everybody talks about the fact of that was talked about. His friends pushed him. What, he was walking around naked and his friends pushed him?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm.
But this is how insane it's gotten, where the alleged victim, no, I don't recall it, then it's not a story.
You go with something where the actual victim doesn't remember. That's the idea.
Yep. Then you add it a couple of days later. The update came only after the Federalist Molly Hemingway, who reviewed an advanced copy of the book, first flagged the article's omission on Twitter, prompting other commentators to press the issue. The Times did not immediately respond to an email from Fox News seeking a comment. The paper's editor's note, meanwhile, did little to stem a torrent of criticism that came late on Sunday because of it, as it should be.
Right.
Just amazing.
Well, I mean, so much was left out, essentially. Well, my question is, what did the New York Times decide to do? Because if Molly Hemingway was able to find it, you know they were able to find it. There had to have been a meeting.
Throughout the day, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Skater Bob, Cory Booker and Julian Castro, among others, declared that Kavanaugh must be impeached, citing the allegation.
Exactly.
We're back to where we just were.
Yes. Yes. Almost what an embarrassment.
Almost a year ago.
Yes. Wow.
Just amazing.
The truth doesn't matter. Wow. I don't know. What you do if, remember, it was BuzzFeed with the whole dossier thing. That was the launch. That was the launch of the rise of Jim Acosta. The real Fredo. I'm smart, not like everyone says. The whole idea, though, of just going with a story that they admitted, and a disclaimer at BuzzFeed they couldn't verify. Well, here we are. Nothing has changed.
No. They're political activists.
Right. Nothing else matters.
Yeah.
The truth certainly doesn't matter.
What is the vetting process?
There isn't one.
We have two people, and our vetting process is a million times better than their vetting process.
Well, where's the meeting?
Well, wait a minute, though. They don't want a vetting process until they get caught.
Well, exactly. Go with it.
Right.
Because as the former editor of the New York Times pointed out, on the Trump stories, you were going to get the clicks. subscriptions would rise. If there's negative Trump, it means more money. Well, on something like this, it goes right in line with that kind of thought, I'm sure. The hope of bringing Kavanaugh off the bench gets you more money.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on fall driving. Traffic challenges. Every season brings different travel challenges. In the fall, you see many slower vehicles like tractors or combines on their way to harvest crops. Later in the season, the roads are filled with holiday drivers. Thanksgiving to Christmas is an extremely busy travel time. And people also hit the highways on the way to football games and other road trips. These situations might lead some drivers to taking new, unfamiliar routes. That could mean sharing the road with vehicles traveling at slower speeds than you're used to. Remember to be patient and pass only when it's safe and no other traffic is around. Trailing a slower vehicle can be frustrating, but it's not worth getting into an accident to try an unsafe pass. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Hurley, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to John in Iowa. John, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio about the Kavanaugh unsubstantiated allegations and now the New York Times backtracking in their article. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. You're on the radio. So, go ahead.
All right. So I am at a college right now in Iowa, and when it was going when the allegations were starting to go, when Kavanaugh hearings are going on at college, everyone was automatically believing Ford. Everyone was going around saying that one quote that people said quite a lot was, "We believe survivors," which I mean, absolutely, if someone's a victim, you'd need to absolutely care for them, give them love. Rape should never occur by any means, ever. But I found that a lot of the data was unsubstantiated. It was, a lot of it was hearsay. And I consider myself independent. I agree with some issues that liberals agree with. I agree with some issues that conservatives agree with. And then some that are just don't really fit into that mold. Anyway, I knew that if I brought it up, if I brought up that topic and tried to discuss it with people on my campus, it wouldn't go well. I'd be shunned. They wouldn't listen to the opinion. So,
yeah,
true discussion couldn't really occur.
Well, here's the only argument. The argument isn't whether you're Democrat or Republican. It's not whether you're liberal or conservative. On these issues, it's what's the evidence and what's the credibility of the witnesses. End of story.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, you would handle it just like you handle it in a court of law. Now, there was no threat of anything, say, that something had been, I don't know, proven or substantiated. No threat of Kavanaugh being convicted of anything or charged with anything. But in this setting, this is exactly what you're doing. In a Senate confirmation process, it must be thorough, but the left threw that out the window because they didn't care about the process at all. I think Grassley probably had some to do with that because he let a lot in. He allowed for a lot to happen when he was chairman of that committee that frankly shouldn't have been allowed to happen. But nonetheless, in the spirit of that thorough process and that full disclosure, he opened up the door to that, and the Democrats just went crazy with it.
to the last caller, understand that if you're somebody who says, look, I believe in journalistic integrity, whether I'm covering Donald Trump or whether I'm covering Obama or Hillary Clinton, if you say you're for journalistic integrity for Donald Trump, the left views you as a racist.
Yes.
They view you as a Hitler. That's what they will. You can't bring that up. We have said before, that's the mindset of a fascism. That's the mindset of a fascist. We believe in evidence on everything surrounding it.
Yes. That's what you have to present.
Yeah.
Together in common harmony, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So much to talk about, but we're back from vacation, so we want to talk to you. And a ton of people calling on a number of topics that we just touched on to start the show, but there's right. So many things going on. And so since I'm confused as where to go, let's talk to you. No, I'm just...
Why not?
I'm kidding. Let's go to Frank in Michigan. Frank, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio on public figures being able to sue, and this is in regards to, and we just touched on it, we'll get into more details on it, the NRA suing the city of San Francisco, and what was the other suit? The Rachel Maddow... OAN suit, yes. Yes, go ahead. And so we're talking, you wanted to make a comment on public figures. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yep. No. Awesome, guys. Great show. Thank you for taking my call, both. Much appreciated. I think you guys are hitting some really good topics tonight. And I think the one that is most disturbing is this inability for public figures to take any action against, you know, what is clearly, you know, untrue accusations. You know, the Kavanaugh case is probably a prime example of that. You know, obviously, you know, many accusations made towards President Trump and many other public figures for that matter. I think it's pretty dangerous for this reason, because, you know, if public figures can't defend themselves, they can't take any action in those instances. These are the people that influence our society to the greatest degree, and a lie can bring a person down with no real proof or evidence. And, you know, they're, unfortunately, you know, we may lose a wonderful public figure because they can't defend themselves legally.
Well, understand that you can,
with that.
Understand that you can defend yourself. Number one, you can defend yourself by saying it's not true. But number two, you can sue. It's whether you can win. Sarah Palin has sued the New York Times because of the editorial they wrote on her concerning the Arizona shooting,
mm-hmm.
and the Target ad, and she is suing, in essence, for I forgot whether it's defamation of character or slander or whatever. And you can still sue as a public figure, and you can win as a public figure, but you have to prove malice, which means you have to prove that they knew that it was a lie. When the New York Times wrote the editorial on Sarah Palin, Eric and I said that night, we looked at each other and I went, whoa, she's got a case here. She can sue. Anybody who's in journalism knows that story is false. It's really a tough thing, and that's what malice is. Malice doesn't mean you do it because you hate the person. Malice, as defined by the Supreme Court, is the fact that you know it's false and you're still writing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or you should know it's false because of the position you're in as a journalist, and you just didn't check the facts. A jury can look at that also and say, well, everybody knew it. How couldn't you, the New York Times, not know it? The problem is with the president and other people are that once you file suit and say, I'm going to sue you for this, you open yourself up to civil discovery, which means if you're suing, the other side can look into your life. can ask for a ton of different things about your life to find, you know, and so you get into that, which is why a lot of public figures will not sue at that point, because it opens them up for civil discovery. They can sue. It's just you have to reach a higher level than a regular person who's not a public figure, which is the malice.
Gotcha. Well, that makes much more sense, and I get it. You know, you get too mired deep in the mud with the back and forth, and you know, pretty soon it turns into something completely different. So I get that completely.
Right.
You know, I will say,
thanks for explaining that.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank. We appreciate it. I think that what we're seeing now, the game has been ramped up. Political lies have been around for a long, long time. Going out and slinging mud, been around for a long, long time. What we saw with the whole Mueller investigation is unprecedented. That level of taking something from nothing. Actually, it wasn't from nothing. You know, we keep saying that. I mean, there was no Russian collusion. There was no obstruction. And so there was nothing there except that it appears a number of people made something. It was fake. It was false. But they put together something. The Christopher Steele dossier is not nothing. Now, it's filled with false information. But it was an effort by a number of people to put that thing together. And then, beyond that, use that to bring a candidate down. And when they couldn't do that, to bring a president down. That's very different than what we've seen in the past. And if, and we'll see where, and of course, you know, the IG, the Inspector General, his report apparently has been completed. We don't know when we'll see that, but it won't be long. It was scheduled to come out in September anyway. And you and I have been talking about that, the getting word here in the last few days that Horowitz, the Inspector General, has finished his report, his work on that, and putting that together. Now we ask what the Attorney General, William Barr, might be doing with any information, if there is any actionable information that comes from that IG report or anything else that Barr is working on. And so I think we'll, you know, that we'll find the truth eventually. Will we get to it before election year of next year? Election day of next year? I don't know. I really don't. But we will eventually find the truth, I'm confident. We will find out what happened there. So political lies have been there for a long, long time. That kind of mudslinging been there for a long, long time. But this is very, very different.
Just the update, because the last caller was referring to the Judge Kavanaugh and the bombshell, the supposed bombshell piece. But the New York Times suddenly made a major revision. This is from Fox late Sunday concerning the resurfaced allegation of a sexual assault by Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, hours after virtually all the 2020 Democratic presidential candidates had cited the original article as a reason to impeach Kavanaugh. The update included the significant detail that several friends of the alleged victim said she did not recall the sexual assault in question, the alleged sexual assault. And, well, she didn't recall the alleged, she can't even call it alleged, supposed sexual assault, because it wasn't alleged, because nobody ever alleged, she never alleged it.
Right.
The Times also stated for the first time that the alleged victim refused to be interviewed and has made no comment on the episode. They actually put it, the Times revision story said, editor's note, an earlier version of this article, which was adapted from a forthcoming book, did not include one element. Oh, we just forgot to put in one thing.
Yeah.
One element of the book's account regarding an assertion by a Yale classmate that friends of Brett Kavanaugh pushed his penis into the hand of a female student at a drunken dorm party. The book reports that the female student declined to be interviewed, and friends say that she does not recall the incident. The information has been added to the article.
Yeah. Well, this is, again, this is the same New York Times that went on forever on collusion. It's the same New York Times that has done how many hit jobs on this current president. So for Kavanaugh, this is, I mean, Why would there be anything different? They are activists at their core. They're not journalists.
No.
Anyone who was a journalist would be, at the very least, if they were filled with bias, they would still be concerned about what? Getting burned. They're not even concerned about that. How many times have they been burned? Remember the two New York Times reporters that said they had been burned essentially by the left and someone close to the Clinton campaign and the Clinton camp, and said, we just felt, you know, when we found out we had been burned, they were just furious. We couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe it. What do you think, the Clintons care about you? No. Because if you're not there, the next person that is there in that seat will be doing their dirty work for them as long as it's allowed.
If you believe in journalism, and this goes back to two callers ago, if you now believe in journalism, you are viewed as part of the right wing. And this isn't just under Trump.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to Bernard Goldberg when he first wrote his book, Bias. And he was working at CBS and he was working for Dan Rather.
Mm-hmm.
And realized, because of a guy, a contractor who worked for him, who said, you know, your network's biased. He said, it is not. Point me to an example of when it is. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernard Goldberg looked at that and said, you're right. That is bias.
Right.
And he started talking about journalistic principles. This goes back, because that book's what, 2003, 2004 maybe?
Yeah, right.
And that book was written a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget, a couple years later, there was an article about how the vast right wing is selling books like crazy. And there's Bernard Goldberg in there, of the authors that have had great success. And what was he promoting? If you've read that book, you know that he was promoting. He was promoting that, well, here's how you should do a story. You first try to get the facts of the story, and then you try to find somebody who you believe is an expert on one side and an expert on the other side. And if there's three sides, you get three experts, but you give an opinion from everybody. You make the balanced story. You're not doing an editorial. You're doing a story, and your attempt is to get to the truth. He's viewed now as a right winger. So this whole thing of the two callers ago who was at college and saying you can't even have the discussion, you can't bring up facts and evidence because you're marginalized. Well, that's the way fascists believe.
Yep.
Let's make sure that the truth isn't there. Let's make sure that journalism is destroyed. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that journalism becomes activism. Let's make sure that journalism becomes part of a political movement, which means we're simply political activists, but we pretend that we're journalists who are telling you an unbiased truth, or attempting at least to tell you an unbiased truth.
Right.
And you've seen it here. You've seen the cooperation with the media, with the Democrat Party over the last 2.5 years with the whole Russia collusion thing, where they get burned. Does it stop them? Remember when the Mueller report came out and you had some Republicans come out and say, we hope that the media now learns from this. And we went, why? They're not journalists.
Why?
They're not journalists. They're not going to learn anything except, okay, we move on to the next lie.
Yep. And that's exactly what they do. They don't, because where do they get burned? I mean, yeah, there was pushback on Sunday on the Kavanaugh thing for the New York Times. They ended up having to actually put the truth into the story to make it a complete story, which totally does away with the entire purpose of the story.
Well,
but are they going to learn? Where's the actual burn from that?
Go one step further. Every one of those presidential candidates that came out and said he should be impeached, they knew what we knew.
Right.
They knew what the truth was. They don't care about the truth.
They don't.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. This from ABC News from yesterday. Iran launched nearly, Iran launched nearly a dozen cruise missiles and over 20 drones from its territory in the attack on the key Saudi oil facility on Saturday, a senior Trump official told ABC News on Sunday.
This is obviously this is Iran's play to further the chaos in that region when it comes to oil output. You know, trying to control the markets, trying to intimidate. This is nothing new.
They said there's no evidence that it came from Yemen, where the Houthis are. That this came. They believe it came from Iran. The president talking about being locked and loaded. You know, this all goes into the whole thing about, you know, John Bolton, which we'll get into, you know, following the top of the hour. But this is as serious it can get. And by the way, Iran is testing the president of the United States.
Yes.
And we knew this. We knew this would happen. You can delay and you can say we're negotiating. You can delay and you can delay and you can delay. But you will have, whether it's Iran, whether it's North Korea, whether it's China, everybody will test you and everybody will call you out eventually. They will. And the fact is, if Iran can get away with this, what else can they get away with?
Exactly. And they keep ramping it up.
Well, the incredible thing is, when military people talking about the level of sophistication needed to use 20 drones and two dozen cruise missiles to precisely attack, precisely attack exactly where you want, you know, to attack, that means, in essence, a state government and what state government would be involved in it, Iran.
Yes.
Isn't just shooting off missiles near,
right,
you know, or mortars and right, happen to get a nice hit. This was precision. This was technologically advanced. And that's why the United States, one of the reasons the United States is saying Iran did this.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. Get our app. Listen 24-7. We stream online around the world at redeyeradioshow.com.
Yes, we do.
We're back from vacation. Thanks for all the response so far. We've had some great calls already into the show, and we'll continue getting your calls and comments here. People missed us, and we missed you.
Blah, 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 blah.
I guess someone didn't miss us. I guess.
I guess I couldn't get away with that kind of BS if I was running for political office, then, huh? I missed you.
I really missed the work. I got to be honest with you. I don't always miss the schedule of when we work, you know, working in the middle of the night, doing it for 23 years. There are times when you go, oh, man, I mean, the good news is I still get to see a good sunrise. And, you know, if I give up sleep, I can see a sunset. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, you're like, okay, everything's going on and then you've got to go to bed. You know, I mean, you got to and it's really not the schedule per se. It's the sleep part. Mm-hmm. If we could just figure out a way to do this without sleeping, I'd be great. Because so many things happening, especially the Kavanaugh thing coming down on Sunday. And then, of course, you know, Molly Hemingway poking a big hole in that balloon very easily. And we, you, when you do this for a living, all the things that, you know, when you're, you know, driving around on vacation or hanging out or just, you know, all of a sudden your news alerts, for us, we set up our news alerts on our phone. A lot of people do that, and you'll see it, and it'll come across, and so many things happening. Of course, the debate happening last week, and people commenting on it, and I was up late just reading it. I think Ben Shapiro just had a great summary in a series of tweets after the debate, summarizing it perfectly, as he always does. But you're just anxious to go, okay, I want to go back to work. And I think that's a good thing.
I started texting you and then didn't. It was Thursday or Friday.
Hmm.
And I just said, no, I just said not. And then I saw you responded to some tweet,
mm-hmm.
and then I responded to that, like, okay, can't wait to get back.
Right, yeah.
Can't wait to get back either, because you do feel like when you do this all the time and the news is, you know, we feel like all of you listening right now, we feel like, you know, you don't work this kind of job, but you're still following. If you're listening to our show, we know you're following the news all the time. And so it starts building up and building up and building up and building up, and you have nowhere to vent. And that's what, by the time I got to, not, I won't say vent or rant, but nowhere to just, I guess just in one way go, wait a minute, I got it here. Let me find it. Oh, I got it here. I can't think of the name, Henniger, Daniel Henniger in the Wall Street Journal.
Mm.
He just had it perfect. And I don't have it here with me at the moment, but I'll find it here. He was just saying, you know, basically get ready for here we come election time, you know, the debates, get ready for another out-of-body experience with the campaign 2020 coming again.
It really is that, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, and you think to yourself, how could this happen? How could it get to this level of crazy? And then each debate, it seems like we get even further.
He wrote this on September 11th. Okay. Right. And so this was actually the middle of last week, but it was what, and I started off the show talking about this, and when I go on vacation and travel and do a bunch of different other things and talk to a ton of different people, it's interesting, but, and I, as I stated earlier, I got the feeling more of, in our culture, the crazy Democrats this week that I've gotten any time over the last couple of years, even more than when Claire McCaskill did it. I've heard that term more than anything when I've been on vacation here the last week.
Right, yeah.
Where people just said, they're just crazy. And I'm sure everybody wasn't reading Daniel Henniger's column in the Wall Street Journal, but the Democrats' dilemma, a normal candidate might defeat Trump, but beyond Joe Biden, there's no plan B. It's too late to turn back now. The 2020 presidential campaign is underway, which means the American people are about to have their second mass out-of-body political experience.
Yeah.
By now, most of us have become accustomed to the psychological dislocation of Donald Trump. But how to explain the Democrats? 10 Democrats will be on stage in Houston. He wrote this last Tuesday. Thursday evening for another antic 3 hours of pain. Tribute to the party's left wing. There is an air of weirdness around the party's candidates. Is there not? No.
I think that's it. You know, we said with Biden, he's, well, gosh, with Biden, with Comey, with Mueller, there's just this weird. Okay. That's interesting, because we paired, clearly, it's easy to pair Comey and Mueller, right? Over on their side of things. So what's going on that side? Now bring it over to the party, the race for 2020. I think it's beyond weird, actually. You know what's really weird? I'm thinking over the weekend, out of all them, don't take this the wrong way, out of all them, it seems like Elizabeth Warren is becoming the sane one. And I'm not saying she's saying same things. It's all relative. We're talking by comparison.
Right.
Now, that's going to change. But the bizarre behavior, and Bernie's just kind of faded off into just a caricature of himself, really. if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's just become a, and not even a funny caricature. Not even something you can laugh at anymore. It's just kind of sad. And you have Elizabeth Warren, and I'm thinking to myself, over the weekend, holy cow, she's the only one that even gets close, and I'm not saying she does, actually, but she's the only one by comparison that looks presidential. And she doesn't.
No.
It's not even close.
Yeah, I like the look, they're all weird, and they are. And yeah. People say Trump's weird. No, Trump's a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Because, exactly, Trump hasn't changed at all in terms of his personality.
No.
Tell me what, over the last 40-plus years since he's been, and I mean world famous, tell me what about him has really changed.
But understand that the weirdness comes. Like I said, Trump has his own unique personality.
Yeah, right.
And psychological makeup.
Yeah.
No doubt. But when it comes down to it, the issues that he believes in, as we've said before, are mainstream. What makes the Democrats weird is their, what adjective can I use to describe it? Their defense of completely and totally bizarre and absurd opinions and analysis of the issues.
Yes.
It's just weird. You really can't go anywhere in the United States and except in activist circles be promoting open borders. That's why Eric Holder came out and said, Democrats, you can't be doing that. You can't be saying we don't need borders. Let everybody across. This is Eric Holder. We're talking about the Democrats that are still being intellectually honest mm-hmm. on some issues, whether it's Rahm Emanuel, right? He said
right,
it.
Right.
He said
yes.
it.
Cuellar in Texas.
Cuellar in Texas said the same thing. It's like, what are you doing? You can't speak like this. If you attempt to promote chaos, and that's what they're doing. They're promoting chaos. O'Rourke talking about there's a difference, and we stated this earlier. There's a difference between saying there's a difference. I'm not saying I'm for it, but there's a difference between saying there should be an assault weapon ban, and not only there should be an assault weapon ban where we're going to stop selling these weapons, but we're going to come into your house and take them away if you don't surrender them to the government.
Right.
That's a totally different ballgame. At that point, people say, whoa. Where are you coming from on that one?
Well, because they in the past it has been going back to the I support hunting. It's John Kerry. Okay, back then that was bizarre. Now it's nowhere even close to crazy or bizarre. Just put that, if you put that in perspective, but it was that. It was well, we support hunting and we support the right to and. No, you don't. And now it's full on. The knock is coming. We're coming to take your guns. And that's what they're openly promoting. And they're really all but saying open borders. I mean, they just haven't said it yet. But remember, we have about a year to go between now and convention time of next year. And it could well be that by then, they're saying, yes, open borders.
Well, look, if you believe that illegals should be able to get welfare and public benefits and it should not be a crime to cross the border, well, right. Then at that point you are promoting open. You may not be saying it, but you're promoting the philosophy of open borders. Eric Holder knows it.
Yes.
He knows it. And that's what's scaring people like Eric Holder. That's what's scaring people like Rahm Emanuel. That's what's scaring what used to be establishment, not anymore, as you stated earlier. They're not establishment Democrats anymore. They're way, way, way too right-wing. Holder, too right-wing for the Democrat Party.
Right. Well,
but,
yeah.
But when you have something...
Well, remember, he's former law enforcement.
look, something this simple as... All electric all internal combustion engines will be gone in 15 years, and the government will take it from you.
Yeah.
When you combine all these different topics, and I didn't see Shapiro's tweets, but I read, I can't remember, but he was like on all the issues. Wasn't he going issue by issue what they were on and how insane they are?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
He was just going
summarizing,
through,
but yes.
Summarizing all the issues. Go, this is insane. This isn't going to happen.
Exactly.
We're not going to be getting rid of airplanes. We're not going to be putting people all on trains. We're not going to be, the internal combustion engine is still going to exist 15 years from now. But when you talk about this over and over and over and over and over again, all of those topics, that in itself makes you weird and realistically unstable in the real world.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a grasp of reality if you're saying the things that they're saying.
Exactly.
People have said this about Trump. Trump doesn't have a grasp on reality. He has his own truth. Well, politicians call that spin, right?
Right.
And you can make that. We've made that case when we said, look, Trump's not telling the truth here, and here. Not the first time we've said that about politicians ever. But as we've said, the problem that really ticks you off about Trump, he lies about the things that don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But on the actual issues, he's quite in the mainstream of American politics over the last 100 years in this country.
Mm-hmm.
He's right in the middle of it. Remember, Democrats 50 years ago believed in massive tax cuts. So when you look at it, he's right. But these people, they're nuts. And it's based on their worldview. The worldview is completely and totally warped as to, number one, you know, what America is about. Mm-hmm. Number one, they don't understand America, which in itself makes you, I'm an American, but I don't believe in any of the Constitution needs to be rewritten completely. Well, then you're not an American.
Right.
And then we haven't even added the transgender stuff.
Mm.
You know, where that's going. And by the way, who was it? I'm glad the comedians are finally coming out. We talked about, what's his name, the one, the Netflix.
Dave Chappelle,
but mm-hmm. What is it, Bill Burr?
Oh, yeah, right.
I saw a clip on, he's just, and I wonder whether, even in the 60s you saw it with a lot of comedians, I wonder if a lot of comedians will be the lead to attack the political correctness. They were quiet for a while. You know, eventually, because comedy will go there. And you see it now with Chappelle, and he's not backing off.
Well, Carlin would have had a heyday. Yeah. I mean, it would have been nonstop specials. He could just Carlin wouldn't even. I mean, I have no idea what it took for Carlin to write some of his brilliance. But I know that it would just write itself for Carlin today if he were alive. So think about that. I mean, I'm not comparing Bill Burr or anyone else to Carlin, but in the observational stuff and going off on the political correctness as Carlin did, not always, but often did, it would be crazy. I think, and of course he was from the 60s. I mean, that's really when his rise happened, 60s and 70s. I wonder if more and more comedians are saying, look, we make a living this way in observational stuff. You guys are just crazy. And Bill Burr's not a right wing. Neither is Dave Chappelle.
No.
These guys aren't right-wing. They're comedians. And the humor is sometimes in the truth.
Well, what's ticking them off? The censorship of the left.
Exactly. Which is censorship of what they do.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Hang on. Nick, Jim, Tony, and more of your calls and comments coming up. Latest on the allegation from the United States that it was Iran, and getting into the specifics about how complicated of an attack it was on the Saudi Arabia, oil complex. They're saying 20 drones were used and at least 12 cruise missiles, and they came from Iran. They didn't come from Yemen.
Right. Yeah. This is something that is, I think, been a clear ramping up of the Iranian regime and their tactic to create chaos in that region when it comes to oil production. You look at the, again, as you just mentioned, the precision of these attacks. The idea is to disrupt production and do as little as possible to harm actual people. This is the idea. Because if this were a group, a spinoff group or an ISIS or any terrorist group, they wouldn't care about loss of life. They wouldn't care at all. They would be, and it wouldn't be anywhere near the precision of what you saw in these attacks. Here's your national forecast.
Chances are for your location, the weather you witnessed yesterday will be the same today. We're going to continue to see heavy amounts of rain in Florida from those two systems, one in the Atlantic, one in the Gulf. We'll see rain in the desert southwest pick up a little momentum as that monsoonal flow funnels into western New Mexico and eastern Arizona. For the most part, California dry. We will see northern California and the coastal areas of Washington and Oregon pick up a little more rain today. Other than that, most of the Intermountain West is dry. The northern plains, after having gone through some severe weather last week and lots of rain, will be dry today. That high pressure will extend down into Texas. The coastal showers we had yesterday along the Gulf will be moving a little bit further inland for the deep south today, so look for showers from portions of eastern Texas all the way over to Atlanta. Getting the work week underway with your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
You're listening to Red Eye Radio from the Pilot Flying J Studios. Companion for trolls, shut-ins, and ne'er-do-wells. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So that news overnight. Iran, I'm reading from the ABC story. Iran launched nearly a dozen cruise missiles and over 20 drones from its territory in the attack on a key Saudi oil facility Saturday. A senior Trump administration official told ABC News on Sunday, "It's an extraordinary charge to make that Iran used missiles and drones to attack its neighbor and rival, Saudi Arabia, as the region teeters on the edge of high tensions." President Donald Trump warned the U.S. was locked and loaded to respond to the attack on Sunday, waiting for verification of who was responsible and for word from Saudi Arabia and how to proceed. And many military experts that have a great deal of knowledge more on the technology that it takes to do this says this was an extremely complicated attack.
Yeah.
And that's why they're focusing in on Iran, saying, right, look, the Houthis, Yemen Houthis, this didn't come from Yemen. This came from a state-sponsored entity that has the ability to do it, and it came from Iran.
Yes.
Well, if they shot off cruise missiles or the drones and we're monitoring that area, then we've got it.
Yep.
We've got the electronic surveillance that they actually did it.
Yeah, Tehran can deny all they want to, but the fact of the matter is the technology is there to prove it.
Which takes us to John Bolton. Mm-hmm. And everybody's trying to do a psychoanalysis of John Bolton and what went on behind the scenes between John Bolton and the president. And I don't know. I've seen analysis from pro-Bolton people saying that Trump believes that everything is negotiable if you just have the right deal, and that isn't where Bolton stands. Bolton wants to go to war with everyone. That's sort of the opinion that I got from Tucker Carlson the other day, who he just took off on John Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
I won't take those liberties because I don't know either man. I can't tell you. And I can't tell you what happened behind the scenes. I do know what John Bolton is known for, though. And I believe a John Bolton is, and I think it's a mistake for the administration to let him resign. Because in my opinion, John Bolton doesn't stand for making war with everybody. What he is saying is you're eventually going to go to war because you can't deal with North Korea. You can't deal with Iran.
Right.
You cannot deal with entities like that. It is impossible to do so. Now, if you wish to negotiate in order to promote the fact that you're eventually going to have to do something, if you believe that North Korea should not have nuclear weapons, odds are, and Bolton probably is giving him this advice, you're eventually going to have to take out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dealing with Iran, you're eventually going to have to do something. If you're dealing with, and the other point, you can't deal with the Taliban and you can't deal with Al-Qaeda. And I'm sure there was fury from Bolton. The president finally backed off because he claimed it was a terrorist attack. But the dumbest idea ever from this president was the thought process that you would bring in Taliban representatives on the week of September 11th and negotiate in Washington, D.C. at Camp David.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
The imagery of that, I'm sure, had to send, because imagery is a part of it. Okay, we accept you in Washington. Come here during the week of September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the president, what was it? Oh, the we're here from thehill.com. President denies reports he will meet with Iran with no conditions. Again, all over the place, because as the Hill points out with their quote, Pompeo and Mnuchin, the president has made very clear he is prepared to meet with no preconditions. Now the president calling it fake news, and it's like your own people said it.
Right.
Your own people that you deal with. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's I don't know what the president thinks on all of this. I don't think that I don't believe the president is an Obama and would do a deal with Iran like Obama did. I don't know. I don't know what the conclusion's going to be. Do I like the way that he has complimented the, you know, whether it's Kim Jong-un, or the president of China, or the thing, for example, look, Kim Jong-un wants to have a healthy economy because a healthy economy for North Korea, he don't want a healthy economy. Everybody knows that's BS. He wants a good enough economy. He doesn't want a capitalist economy. He wants just good enough economy where he can keep his absolute dictatorial control over his country. That's what he wants. And that's all he wants. He doesn't want a vibrant economy, as you know, as the president has talked about before. So the president can be all over the place on these things. But when it comes down to it, do I believe that there is a point where the president says, nope, it's not going to go any further? Well, we saw the bombing of the ISIS island, did we not?
Mm. Yep.
When we were gone?
Yep.
So, again, I don't know. It's still the great unknown with this president, as we've said. There's all this clutter and chatter and confusion, and then you have to wait. In the end, do we cut to the right conclusion? That's what we're dealing with this administration.
Well, that's it. I mean, nothing matters until a deal is done. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about tariffs with China or whatever it might be with Iran. Until a deal is done, until some kind of action is taken, you really can't comment because you don't know where it's going to go.
But with a Bolton, was Bolton wrong to look at North Korea and say, you can't deal with them, they'll never fulfill any of their promises? Does history show that Bolton is absolutely correct on that?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And with Iran, the danger is very, I believe, clear and present.
Does history show that you're not going to be able to work out a deal that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, ISIS, whoever they invite in next, that you can trust the Taliban to do the right thing?
Right.
Is John Bolton right to say you can't trust them, Mr. President?
Yes, he is.
He's right. Now, he may say, look, you may need to negotiate in order to finally, you know, stay in and politically win this. But the fact is, they're not going to, they don't want to deal with you, Mr. President. They want a deal so they can continue to break that deal behind your back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, and that is that the advice that Bolton probably gave the president? And on Iran, the same thing. You can't trust them.
You can't.
Mr. President, you had to be, I bet you Bolton thought that, yep, we should have taken out publicly. Now, they've talked about the fact that we did internet-wise,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that we did shut down and hurt them. Now, again, is it all in all likelihood that Bolton said, no, you need to make a public response? They attacked a U.S. surveillance military vehicle. They attacked U.S. property. You've got to make something that's public back. Did Bolton probably say that to the president? Yes. Is Bolton wrong for bringing up that advice?
No.
No. So I'm not going to get into the psychological analyzing of a John Bolton and the president, because with this president, it's what conclusion does he come to after we have to walk through the chaos to get to that ultimate conclusion, and we don't know what that is. And with this president, if the conclusion is right, and for most of the things with this president so far, they've been okay.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple of things. First of all, we know that the president as a person, before he was president, he was more of an isolationist. You know that
yes,
even in some matters, as president, he's been more of an isolationist. We talk about Syria, the drawdown, which turned out to be not a drawdown. It was technically a drawdown, but not to the extent of a complete withdrawal. And a number of things along the way where I don't know. There's no way to know what the president himself believes, because we don't see that play out, per se in any given situation. But I'm guessing there's probably it's likely a sound theory to say that the president, knows that you can't be a popular president and be a war president in, 2019 and beyond. You can't. It wasn't the case for Bush. Bush was popular after 9/11. We go into Afghanistan, but then we go in 2003, we go into Iraq, and you started to see that it was again, and the media is going to want the immediate media, especially social media, wants you out of that war by tomorrow. Get in and get out. Take care of the enemy. Keep people safe, but don't put in any of our own in harm's way. It becomes something where if you're a war president politically, it's not going to be positive for you, even to the extent that you see it, that, you know, the Hill kind of, you know, using the language, the Iran hawks, you know, people like Ted Cruz and others, mm-hmm, that they talk about, and they refer to Bolton as an Iran hawk. Well, it's very simple, as you pointed out, on the issues, on the threats, on the history of their behavior. Is Iran a threat? Yes, they are. Yes. Is North Korea a threat? Yes, they are. Now, how do you control them? Right now, on both sides, on both fronts, it's been sanctions, heavy sanctions. And we have no idea what went on in the hallways and what the conversations were. But we do know where Bolton stood, and we know where the president likely is trying to walk the fence as a president, as someone who's trying to get reelected. They know. Iran knows, just like China knows with tariffs. Iran knows the political pressure on this president in seeking re-election, and they know that there is not a positive unless Iran harms Americans. And I mean, if they came in and they attacked American interests, and it was not even a 9/11 attack, not even on that scale, but there was an attack on American lives, deliberately seeking and taking American lives, then, of course, the American people would back him on retaliating. But it's really tough when you're president politically to win as a war president.
9/11 Commission, and this is because a lot of these thoughts went through my mind last week when we were hearing never forget, never forget, never forget. I'm thinking to myself, me and the Democrat Party, and this and a significant portion of this country has completely forgotten about how we were attacked. And, you know, there was a story about, you saw the New York Times being criticized because the planes aimed themselves at the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that story last week. The planes aimed.
Airplanes took aim.
Yeah, the airplanes took aim.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
And this, we get to this point. Is Bolton wrong to say to the president, radical Islam is not going away as a major enemy of the United States, and if you pull out of Afghanistan, you will create another vacuum where the Taliban will work behind your back because they don't care. They're, you know, that they don't care. They didn't care before.
No,
they don't care. We've seen what happens when you leave the vacuum in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come back, and the one thing that Americans will not confront. This, you know, this is almost like the debt with Americans.
Mm.
On the debt, I just don't want to talk about it.
Right.
When you talk about the reality of radical Islam that exists in this world and what they wish to do, what those organizations wish to do, it's not going away now. It's not going away next year. And we said this after 9/11. We said, this is going to be something that this is a war that you're not going to win in 10 years. It's not, you're not going to win it in 20 years. This could be 50 years. It could be 100 years. This is a war that you have to stay in, that you cannot. And if you believe that the war stops because you leave, that's exactly what the 9/11 Commission said.
Exactly.
And by the way, they were talking about the 9/11 Commission last week. Well, we need to have the intelligence, the intelligence. The 9/11 Commission said, but if you have the intelligence and don't have a preemptive strike, if you don't go after where the problems are, you can't solve the problem.
Exactly.
The problem is they were at war with us. We weren't at war for them. And we believe, and if the president believes if we pull out, the war stops, he's wrong.
Yep.
History shows he's wrong. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. And Eric, to me, that's the thing that's frustrating is everybody knows it. Everybody knows that the war against radical Islam, and when you look at the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, any new group that comes in the future is something that's going to, that probably will, as I said in 9/11, back in 2001, will go on longer than I'm alive. And just because we choose not to engage with them doesn't mean the war ends.
Yeah,
and for some reason, we as Americans, many of us wish to believe that, no, if we just back off, then it will stop, and it won't.
It won't. No, it won't. It you know, when whether it's the Taliban, Iran, or any of them, there is going to be a ramping up, especially given the fact that they know right now that they can ramp up that pressure during a political season and really put unique pressure on this current administration, who's struggling at home and has its own domestic issues, as they all do. That's going to be their MO. That's not going to stop. You back down, they're going to keep coming at you, regardless of who they are.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.